Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/PPMedia. That's once again all one word, audibletrial.com/PPMedia, and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/PPMedia. Start reading.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your
king.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
super
girl.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffria Podcast. My name's Bubba. With me, as always, is
Catfish.
We are part of the Double P Media crew. We are here recording the second of five podcasts in one day to celebrate the fifth anniversary of
the Joffria Podcast.
The number one podcast celebrating first of his name, first in your heart, King Joffrey Baratheon. We've been doing this for 5 years. It was back in 2013, Catfish, when we did this. We've already done.
Tell me.
79 podcasts. That means we've averaged almost 16 podcasts a year. We've been doing this. We've had over 680,000 downloads.
Yes.
That's why we are now not only doing this podcast in audio form on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, but we're also doing this now in video on YouTube, on Stitcher, not Stitcher, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Instagram TV, anywhere. We're trying to be everywhere.
We're on your mom's iPad. I don't know how, but we're on there.
Mama, I'll be home for supper. But as we're on there, we are trying grow this podcast. And so we've created new Twitter handles at @PHQ. That's the word double, the single letter P, the letters HQ for headquarters. So that's at @PHQ on Twitter. Okay. It's also at @PHQ on Instagram. Our Facebook page has changed to at @PHQ, facebook.com/PHQ. We want you to go there, follow. We got to grow.
We able to migrate people over? We able to just change it?
If you've already followed or liked the page, you're going on. But if you suddenly search for the old site, it won't pop up. So we need you to go.
All right.
That said, on YouTube, as of the recording of this podcast, we only have 692 subscribers. Maybe it's because we look like this. Maybe. You know, maybe if we didn't look like this, we would have more subscribers. You think that is at all possible? But we are trying to grow. We need you to go and...
I mean, look at all this fancy cutting that's going on.
Look at that. And if you follow us on those sites and tweet out or Instagram out with the hashtag Joffria Podcast or share it on Facebook, share it on YouTube, you'll be eligible to win some of these great prizes, like pull that mug over here, Catfish.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to be giving away, this is from the Game of Thrones live concert event. This is a beautiful stein, a mug that you can pour your... pour your ale in and get on like you're Robert Baratheon. We've got a poster. This is also from the concert experience, which is the sheet music for some Game of Thrones music signed by Ramin Djawadi. We are giving away this
stuff.
But we need you at @PHQ, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Like, go. We need peeps.
On YouTube, @PHQ?
No. Sadly, on YouTube, we're cursed. On YouTube, we need you to go just search @PMedia on YouTube. Will pop up.
I'm so glad I asked that question.
I am ashamed that I gave that answer. Now, on today's second of five podcasts we're all doing in one day.
No, this is completely new.
On this second one. The second one we're doing that is being released a week after the other one. Muggity, uggity, uggity. We're going to talk about, hey, you love Game of Thrones. You're listening to the number...
40.
Game of Thrones podcast in the world.
Number one.
And maybe you want to go to where they film some of this stuff. Where they film the exciting Seven Kingdoms and Essos and everything that happens. Well, admittedly, you would have to go to Iceland to see some of the Beyond the Wall stuff. Ooh. You would have to go to Northern Ireland, which I've been to see some of the great Winterfell and Northern stuff.
Okay.
Or... if you are like me, you got to be where the crown is. You want to see where they filmed King's Landing. You got to go to Dubrovnik, Croatia, Kevin.
Nice.
You got to go there. And so we're going to be taking you through kind of things to think about if you're on a Dubrovnik vacation going to see Game of Thrones real life King's Landing. Wow, wow, wow.
Now I'm excited.
Excited?
Because I have not been, even though I'm hoping to go.
You haven't been?
I've never been. I've never been to Dubrovnik. I've never been to King's Landing. I was kind of going to wait until after this last season when Joffrey retakes his rightful place at King's Landing.
Oh, that'd
be a good
idea.
Because then that will be... I'm kind of boycotting Dubrovnik until then.
Okay. Well, if you are willing to listen to this, and I went on a trip before His Grace came back and reclaimed his capital city.
Well, you were just laying the groundwork.
Right. Have to do it. We're going to take you through this great trip to Croatia.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead and let's explain that we're going to be doing this a bit like our favorite PBS star, Rick Steves, who hosts Rick Steves Europe, where he goes around and talks about Europe. And to be honest, most of my advice is from his Rick Steves Croatia guidebook.
So okay, great. I love it.
Very original facts you're getting.
Okay.
So the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get there. And this is one of the biggest tricks in the world, is how in the world do you get there? And why is it tricky?
If
you go anywhere in Europe, most of Europe, I should say,
right,
you're able to immediately just hop on a train and get somewhere.
Right.
If you're in Paris and you suddenly want to get to Venice, you can hop on a train and do it. If you're in Venice, want to get to Rome, you can hop on a train and do it. If you're in Madrid and you want to suddenly get to London, you can do it via the train network. It's so easy. It's so quick. These trains seemingly leave on the hour. You can just go there, hop on. Croatia, and more specifically Dubrovnik, there's no train there. It's right on the coast. It's surrounded by these huge mountains. The trains, they never laid a train track there. And so it isn't like the rest of Europe. There are only two ways to get there.
Hydrofoil?
You can hydrofoil, or what they call catamaran, or do a cruise.
Okay.
Or you can fly there. In this instance, I'm going to talk about flying there. So sure enough, I flew this. There are a million low-price European airlines. This one is called Vueling. It begins with a V.
It's clearly not Vueling.
It is.
No,
it is.
It's Vueling.
No, it isn't. They pronounce the V as a W, catfish, like you're in Austria.
Then it's Vueling.
Vueling. It's Vueling. Really, really cheap, and you can kind of tell. So I was flying from Rome to Dubrovnik. Now, to get from the Rome train station, because I wasn't actually staying in Rome at the time, I took a train into Rome, then had to pay €14, which is about $16.40, to take a bullet train from the train station out to the airport.
Is it really only that? Oh, God, the last time we went to Europe, the euro was worth more than that.
Well, it's still more than a dollar, but that's what
it is. I feel like it was like
$1.30. No, trust me, I did these prices today, so that's what it costs.
No. I believe you. What I'm saying is, last time we went to Europe, I believe it was like $1.33 for a euro. So it sounds like the euro is cheaper than it used to be.
Yeah, probably a bit. So when you get to the airport, you don't look for airline. You look for destination, at least at the Rome airport. So I just found Dubrovnik. It pointed me to the Vueling terminal.
Okay.
In the air. You're in the air barely 45 minutes. And the Rome airport, I included a couple slides that were shown to our video team on YouTube and Twitch, because I wanted people to see this airport. I'd had a debate with my aunt and a cousin who I was staying with in Florence, and we were debating, where have all the malls go? Do anybody go to malls anymore? And so I was like, well, I found the mall. It's in the Rome airport. Look at some of these stores. Prada. You know, here's Bulgari. You know, these stores.
Todd's.
These stores are incredible. I mean, this is a high-end mall. Why? Because you've got people trapped waiting for their plane. So let's give them something to do.
Yeah, Dolce & Gabbana. My goodness.
Yeah, this was it. So you hop on the plane.
Uh-huh.
This plane, the round-trip ticket was under 200 American. But this flight to Dubrovnik, I tell you what, this was the loudest flight I've ever been on. Like, this plane didn't have much sound insulation from the engines roaring outside. It was crazy. So you land in Dubrovnik, and the airport's about 13 miles southeast of town, and it's in a desolate area. You're looking around, you're like, what in the hell is... I came to a vacation. This is...
Right.
To be honest, it looks, if you're at all familiar where we live in California, if you really go out into the deserts where barely anything grows, that's what it looked like. You're at the airport, you're thinking, well, how am I going to get these 13 miles into Dubrovnik? Everywhere in the airport, they have these big signs in English as well as Croatian, that say shuttle bus tickets. Now, you're going to not be paying in euro now that you're in Croatia. Croatia is on the kuna. The kuna is its own currency. So to get a round trip from the airport to Dubrovnik, and then if you want to take the shuttle back from Dubrovnik to the airport for your return flight, that costs 70 kuna, which is only $11.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And so you get that, and you hop in the shuttle bus, and you're still thinking, this is desolate, this is desolate. But at a certain point, about a mile from the airport.
Well, you're probably okay, though, if you're wearing the Croatian soccer team's jersey.
You think you can just hop on for free without paying?
Yeah, sure, if you're wearing the red and white checkerboard.
So about a mile from the airport, suddenly the mountains part, and you can see the Adriatic Sea.
Oh, this looks horrible.
It is beautiful. You are talking about these incredible resorts. You're talking about these giant cliffs that you're up on, looking down into the sea. It is beautiful, and it's incredible. And at a certain point, you see Dubrovnik in the distance, and you're like, holy smokes, this is what I've come to. This looks like King's Landing. It is so
That's great. Very nice.
Now, all these shuttle buses and taxis, or say you took a cruise and you're coming in to see Old Town Dubrovnik inside the city walls, they're going to drop you off at this thing called Pile Gate. There are only three gates into the city, and Pile Gate is the main one where all tourists, visitors, and to be honest, most main Croatians end up on. You would call it the Western Gate, aka the Northern Gate. And it's this big traffic area. This traffic area is so big that it's against the law to park there for more than 10 minutes. If you park in this area for more than 10 minutes, guess what happens to you? Police come and say, you got to move, or they're going to tow you, you know, give you a ticket, kick you out. A funny story that people always told was that when they were filming Game of Thrones recently, the actor who plays the Mountain, his chauffeur pulled him up to Pile Gate. And he's just waiting in the van. He's waiting in the van because it's hot as daisies and he loves the AC. It's been 10 minutes. The police come up to him, knock on the car. They're like, hey, you can't park here. You can't park here. The chauffeur's really afraid. They're like, oh, God, this is going to be trouble. This is going to be trouble. At a certain point, the actor who plays the Mountain stepped out of the back seat and the cops backed down. And we're like, yeah, whatever. Stay as long as you want. That's great. You're part of Game of Thrones. We love you. And so this is kind of the big entryway into the city. Outside the city walls, there's this beautiful little square and this fountain. This fountain is where, in the summer, I should say, I went the second week of June 2018. This fountain right outside the city walls, there are Game of Thrones walking tours leaving from this fountain every 15 minutes. They're in every language you could imagine. Of course, English is a big one, but there are groups of 10 tourists taking these Game of Thrones walking tour every 15 minutes. A walking tour of just Old Town in the city cost 150 kuna, which is the equivalent of $23.70. And it lasts, you know, about 3.5 hours. It's a pretty good deal. And it's always, the ones that I did and the ones that I saw tended to be guided by local Croatians, local Dubrovniks who live there. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Now, let me ask you a question. And if I'm getting ahead, you can tell me you'll answer it later.
Sure.
Here, if you know, what is the percentage of tourism? What's the increase in percentage of tourism in Dubrovnik because of Game of Thrones?
Well, what has happened, I can't give you a percentage, but recently an article came out where it's a UNESCO heritage site. You know, those are kind of very rare. And Dubrovnik is worried it's going to lose its UNESCO heritage site, you know, status because so many human beings are coming every day. Like currently in summer tourism time, more than 8,000 tourists visit through Dubrovnik, Old Town Dubrovnik, every day. And that doesn't count. There are about 12 to 15,000 people who live in Old Town, who like that's their home. And so you have that many people coming through, once again, only three gates and stuff. And so in the old days, it used to be like pre-Game of Thrones, you know, a heavy day, you might have 4,000. So you could say that if all these tourists are coming because of Game of Thrones, it's almost doubled.
Wow.
I think is a safe number to say. Now, all the facts I'm going to give to you, I'm going to be going off my Game of Thrones tour guide, Marco. So I only did the short 3.5 hour walking tour. And so most of the facts...
That's the short tour?
That's the short tour. You can do an tour, which includes Locrum Island, and we'll talk about that in a bit. I just went out there on my own. I didn't do it as part of a Game of Thrones tour. And you can do a full day tour, which includes this garden far north of the city where they film many of the Lady Olenna and Margaery scenes when they were out in the quote-unquote King's Landing Gardens. Those were filmed about 5 miles southeast of the city. But I just did this one, and I had my tour guide, Marco. And Marco was so great. And I'm going to go ahead right here at the top and say why Marco was great. Marco, Croatian guy, used to sell real estate. Now he's giving Game of Thrones tours. And his English is so, so good. But he wants some catchphrases. He wants, you know, kind of some hooks.
Everybody has to have a catchphrase.
To get to the people. So, for example, when he was describing the scene when Myrcella is shipped away to Dorne, he called all the people on the shore who are watching Myrcella sail away to Dorne. As Cersei's watching her daughter sail away to Dorne, and all these people are going, he called them the ass-kissers. You know, because I assume he just couldn't figure out what he meant, but he'd be like, and the people on the shore, the ass-kissers are waving goodbye. Goodbye, the ass-kissers wave to Myrcella. And it is so funny. You want Marco to just keep saying ass-kissers. Whatever, you know, in this accent, it's so good. He later talks about the scenes where Jaime Lannister comes back to King's Landing, and he's had his arm chopped off. You know, he's lost his sword hand. And so Marco is so great. He's like, so Jaime Lannister comes in and he's crybaby, and crybaby Jaime is like, hey, I'm a Kingslayer, and we don't recognize you because of the beard. He's like, I'm the Kingslayer, crybaby. And Marco, you just love him. You wanted him to keep saying everything. So guys, if somehow you get to Dubrovnik, look for Marco, great tour guide.
We'll have to contact you so you can figure out which. I'm sure there's several different companies giving tours.
Oh yeah. We have some of them right here. In fact, Catfish, why don't you hold up some of these pamphlets?
Okay, don't I do that?
Here, this top one I didn't do, but does this sound great? You've gone to King's Landing.
Uh huh.
Let's take a look at this. Okay. It's the King's Landing escape room. A escape room themed after King's Landing in Dubrovnik.
Oh, that's the number one fun thing to do, they say.
Is that not great?
I bet it would be.
Well, TripAdvisor. I bet it would be fun. I didn't do it. I was a fool. But they also have ones that, like I said, that take you all around the tour. It's called Game of Thrones Driving, Walking, Boat Tour. So this would take you a whole day to do some of these tours. But they're just a million. A million companies. Winter is Here is this one here. Here's one called Game of Thrones Tour by Aviar. I mean, you know, look at these. Is this ridiculous? They're just a million companies doing them.
Now this I love.
Show it to the camera.
It's the Star Wars Dubrovnik Tour. Walking tour of Dubrovnik's filming locations. What Star Wars things have been filmed in Dubrovnik?
Well, we're going to get to that in a sec. But okay. Yeah, less popular, or at least only one tour group does it, is the Star Wars walking tour of Dubrovnik.
Right, but you also get to go to Dubrovnik's hottest club.
Hell yeah, of course. So, you know, I mentioned that you're going to end up at Pile Gate, and out there's the fountain. If you just walk to the sea, you know, this square butts up against the sea. You walk to the sea, and you're going to come out, and to your left, you're going to see this beach where people take kayaks. And kayaking around the old town is a great, fun activity to do in Dubrovnik. But the place where all these kayaks leave from, that's the beach. This is the beach when somebody comes or leaves King's Landing, like Myrcella being shipped off, or the scene of Myrcella returning to Dorne. It all takes place at this one beach, this one location where all these kayakers are. So here's my fun fact from Marco. When Game of Thrones comes, they have to pay these kayak company to go to the other side of town and do their kayaks from them. Kayak company, of course, want some pub, so after either season 2 or season 3, actress Sophie Turner took one of their kayak rides and they got a picture with her. And so, of course, when you have so many Game of Thrones tourists coming, you know, they want to advertise, hey, look, here's a Game of Thrones star taking these great kayaks. Now, Marco, tour guide Marco, he loves Dubrovnik, loves Croatia, but he always talks about how it's so corrupt, oh, the corrupt city. So this kayak company, you know, they have like a license for like, let's say, 100 kayaks.
Okay.
But they have like 300 kayaks. So what happens when the guy who's supposed to regulate this comes? Well, they know he's coming. And apparently what they do is they just paddle the 200 extra kayaks around the town to a far away until after the inspector comes, and then they just kayak them back. Marco's like, the city doesn't have, this day, you know, Croatia doesn't have enough inspectors, so you can trick them, you can have them do whatever you want to do, just go. And so we're going to have a lot of great tours like that, or a great of corruption, things like that. At this same square where the fountain was, where the walking tours begin, you turn to your right, and there's the fort. This is the fort where Joffrey's name day in season 2 took place. This is the fort you always see in the background of all these shots. This is a great fort. According to Marco, you know, this is the Adriatic Sea. They're having Croatia / Dubrovnik is afraid that Venice is going to attack and overtake them. You know, they're both kind of sea powers. They're afraid Venice is going to come attack Dubrovnik. They're like, okay, we got to do something. So they build a fort. But they don't really have time. So they only build two walls to the fort, and they're the two walls that kind of face Venice. So if you were a boat coming from Venice, you would see it. And rumor has it that the Venetians did see this fort and then immediately went back and reported and said, okay, we can't attack Dubrovnik.
That's awesome.
According to Marco, okay, so they built it in like 90 days, those two walls. They didn't finish the fort for 500 years. Also right here, just outside the square, is the Grand Hotel Imperial, and it's now owned by Hyatt or some big company. But when Game of Thrones films in Dubrovnik, like full time, like when season 2 where they film so much here, they rent out the entire hotel. The entire hotel is rented out by Game of Thrones producers, actors, writers, you know, set decorators. Like they take up the hotel, entire hotel. What's so great and fascinating about this hotel is that if you go back just about 25 years to the horrific war separating Yugoslavia, you know, this the Bosnian and Herzegovian and the Croats, the war. This war in all of Dubrovnik was being shelved. Here the video audience is getting to see a picture of that hotel on fire from some of the bombing on November 11th, 1991. Yeah, really, really serious. So enough of that. It's time to go into the old town. Once again, there are only three gates. This is the main one because so many people, including people who live and work in the city, travel through this gate. You know, there are only three of them. The traffic is very hardcore. They're like, okay, coming in, you walk on this side of the rope, going, you know, going out, coming out of the city, you walk on the other side of the rope. It is incredible. And the figure right above the all these gates is a saint called Saint Blaise. And he is the patron saint of Dubrovnik. Saint Blaise always holds the city. He's always kind of all his statues and paintings show him holding the city of Dubrovnik in his left hand. It's kind of cool. So let's go into the city.
And a joint in his other hand, which is why it's called Saint Blaise.
Once you're inside the city, this gate is once again the main gate in. This was the main gate used when Jaime returned to King's Landing after he lost his hand. At the end, episode 10 of season 3. What's interesting about this gate is kind of local legend, local lore says we will never close this gate entirely. But if you leave the doors to the gate open, you see outside the gate, you know, it's modern restaurants, it's a parking lot with filled with buses and stuff. And so when they filmed that scene, they had to film it at an angle so that they could almost close the entire gate, but not entirely close it to block off that modern stuff. And then, because this is a main thoroughfare, any scenes filmed right here have to have breaks every 15 minutes to let people come and enter the city.
Oh, wow.
So when you watch that scene in season 3, episode 10 of Jaime and Brienne and Qyburn, actually, walking back into King's Landing, know that they have to do these in kind of quick takes because in 15 minutes they got to reopen it and let the public through. Once you're through that, you're kind of in another little holding area. This holding area right by Pile Gate is where the main riot, the riot where Joffrey got hit by that evil cow pie in season 2 where the riot broke out. It was pretty much all filmed in this one location. Once again, because this is part of the gate, this incredible huge riot scene of season 2, they would have to stop every 15 minutes to let the public through. Is that crazy? So you can see just how beautiful this really is. It's a beautiful old town. Once you're inside, you end up at this fountain. How could Dubrovnik and these walled cities survive? Well, they had to have fresh sources of water. And so this round fountain brings water down from the mountains in, and it's still used today. You can still go up to any of these fountainheads and grab some water. This was also the filming location of Catfish's favorite TV show, Emerald City. They used this scene for like the Evil Witch's place, or they kind of built their own version for it. Brings back great memories, doesn't it?
Yeah, hashtag wheat, not chaff.
Moving on forward, as you can see, this is an old, old city. Survived the bombings in the 90s. Now you can see packed with tourists. Once you're through Pile Gate and through the fountain, you're on the main strip. It's a bit longer than a football field. It's called the Stratum, the main stroll of town. I should say, once again, I was there the second week of June. It was highs in the 80s, very humid. But what also made it tough is this is white stone of King's Landing, Dubrovnik. So the sun was hitting you from the top, then it hit this white stone and it bounced back up in your face, and oh my lord, did I sweat. But hopefully you can see, really beautiful. Every shop has these signs that say Game of Thrones official licensed souvenirs. They know that there's been a big boost in tourism based on the show. They want people to see it, and so they are selling stuff left and right. Everywhere you look. Here we're showing now in our slides a store which has a dummy of Jon Snow.
First of all, let me say one thing. Yeah. First of all, that's you don't need to say that.
A dummy Jon Snow.
Yeah.
He knows nothing.
That goes without saying. Second of all, the dummy looks a lot more muscular and substantial than the actual Jon Snow.
He might be taller than the actual Jon Snow. Also, you'll notice some Star Wars stuff in these shops. Let's just go through. Here's a shop which had a Daenerys in it, a full tall Daenerys statue mannequin in the store.
And still some Star Wars stuff, too. They're really pitching the Star Wars.
At the airport, I want to go ahead and say this. At the airport, there are these signs. Official HBO licensed merchandise, Game of Thrones. Is this incredible? So this is at the airport. They want you to do this stuff. Everywhere you go, winter is here, as they say. Now, here we go. There are two ways you can stay in Dubrovnik when you're on a trip, okay? Uh-huh. You can either stay in the town. Well, okay. I mean, technically, there are three ways. You can stay in the town. If you stay in the town, it's not like there are real hotels in the town. There are one or two. There are these things called sobas, which are studio apartments in their language, where you can rent a studio apartment for about $100 a day, and there you're in Old Town. That's what I did. I thought, well, why do I always want to drive or catch a shuttle bus to Old Town if most of the time I'm going to Old Town? So I'll stay in a soba, and I'll be happy there. Now, by doing that, I did give up the resort lifestyle. There were no sand beaches. There are no sand beaches anywhere except at the resorts. I didn't have a pool. I didn't have a housekeeping that's always going to come in each night and remake the bed. You get that at the resorts, which are, you know, a 10-15 minute bus ride or taxi ride away from Old Town. In some ways I wish I had had that. The positives of staying in a soba in the Old Town is that when you want to take a break, hey, your break's right there. You don't have to, once again, you don't have to catch a bus to take a siesta. And on these super hot days where I was getting cooked with the sun, I did tend to take siestas from 3 to 5 in the afternoon just because it was so darn hot.
And as far as the nightlife, as far as how things were open, did that kind of support the siesta lifestyle? Whereas in Spain, you know, things stay open later because people really do focus on the siestas.
Now, this was open 24/7, but I needed a break. So I was taking the break. And it was incredible. I really needed it. No, the third way you can do Dubrovnik is with a cruise. Now, the fear about a cruise is what? The fear of the cruise.
Drowning.
Is right. No, is do you have enough time in the location? You know, you have on a cruise
sewage
ship.
Sewage backup.
No, on a cruise ship, you know, you only stay at a port of call, what, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours? You know, that you may feel like that would be rushed.
Salmonella outbreak.
There goes our cruise sponsorship. Brought to you by Princess Cruise Line, King Catfish. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership.
Just go to audibletrial.com/doublepmedia and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/doublepmedia to get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. Hey, why don't I suggest, based on today's podcast, you could go to audibletrial.com/doublepmedia and you could get Rick Steves' new book, Travel as a Political Act. We have been gently mocking Rick Steves here on the podcast for years. He's a really great guy, and his new book, Travel as a Political Act, you'll get to know the man, his thoughts, and you'll get to find a new way to keep on traveling. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/doublepmedia. Again, that's audibletrial.com/doublepmedia for your free audiobook. Get reading.
My soba was up 90 stairs. So you better be able to walk stairs. And that's not just for a soba, that's for anything. This is a city built on these rocky kind of cliffs, a town built on these rocky cliffs. So I was walking up 90 stairs and walking up 90 stairs to hit my little soba, my little studio apartment. It was great, but it was something. Now, when I would get in, I would set the AC to 25. What is that in Celsius? Well, 25 Celsius is like 77 degrees Fahrenheit. But trust me, it felt incredibly cold after being outside. When you walk the town, you can pretty much get to the other side of town, the second main gate, Plotchke Gate, very quickly. When you get to Plotchke Gate, you pass these famous sets of stairs, which are just inside the gate. It's here where Star Wars The Last Jedi, Episode 8, The Last Jedi, filmed a bunch of scenes. This was the casino planet, if you remember Star Wars The Last Jedi. And so what they filmed were kind of the exterior scenes. The interior scenes were on a soundstage in London, but the exterior scenes were filmed here in Dubrovnik. And according to Marco, they spent close to 40 million kuna, in Dubrovnik. So Dubrovnik, all these people thought, oh man, these Star Wars fans are going to come just like the Game of Thrones fans. We got to get Star Wars merchandise. And sure enough, they filmed those horse running things, the Fathiers in Star Wars The Last Jedi. They filmed them running up these stairs and then up a wall here. Of course, most of that got cut from the film, because the casino planet, you know, didn't play well. And so all these tourism shops have all this Star Wars stuff, and you really wonder if any Star Wars fans are going, because Dubrovnik is barely in the film.
Oh, man.
As I say, people live in Dubrovnik, so you're going to see pets. Like, I saw dogs and cats everywhere. The cats you can see everywhere.
The scourge of King's Landing.
King Joffrey didn't clean up Dubrovnik. He cleaned up King's Landing. And so here we have Plotchke Gate. If you're in a hurry, you can walk from one gate to the other in 10 minutes. That's how small this town really is. Now, there are all sorts of, it's a lot of stairs, a lot of up and down, but it's pretty, pretty fun. And it's pretty beautiful, hopefully you can see. By Plotchke Gate is what they call the Old Harbor. Why did they call it the Old Harbor?
Because there's a new one?
Right, new ones that cruise ships can go in. Cruise ships can't fit in this Old Harbor. But the Old Harbor is very beautiful with these small little ships, like small schooners, which would take you on kind of regional cruises, leave from this. And it is just beautiful. You're like, this is where you want a vacation. I'm saying.
Yeah.
The third gate, the locals hate. So Dubrovnik was overtaken a couple times, one time by the French. The French thought, boy, we need more entrances to this city. So the French blew a hole in the northern side. It doesn't have the decorations that the other do. And it's kind of ugly. The locals hate it. They turned the moat, this city kind of, you know, it was a city. It had a moat around it. They turned the moat into a hideous parking lot for the city. And so there are the three gates into and out of Old Town Dubrovnik. Now, the main thing you want to do, the thing that Rick Steves says is the number one thing to do in Dubrovnik is to walk around the city wall. So you walk up, you know, about 100 flights of stairs, and you're up on top of the city wall, which goes around Dubrovnik. And it is beautiful.
Now, wait, let me ask you here.
Yeah.
Do you mean 100 stairs?
100 steps.
Okay. You said 100 flights, and I was a little worried.
No, no, sorry. 100 steps.
Okay, good, good, good.
In a stair. And you get on this, and so the stairs close at 7:30 on a summer night. But it was so hot, I'm like, I'm not going till 7. So I climb up these steps, 100 steps, and you're up on the city wall. And it is beautiful. The scenery is incredible. And you can pretty much see the entire town. You look out over the town. This is the King's Landing. What's funny that you see so much on the show. You're seeing all these domes. In fact, spoiler alert, a dome we're showing in our slide now that's kind of hazel green here on the front right side of the picture. Game of Thrones Season 8 rebuilt this dome in Belfast because they wanted their Belfast King's Landing set to kind of have a look like this. So they tried to recreate this dome in Belfast.
Now, quick question. Are these domes all for places of worship?
They are. They are all tied to churches.
And we have Catholic churches? We have mosques?
Yes.
What do we have?
No, it's pretty much all Catholic churches,
okay,
or what you would call Orthodox, kind of Christian Orthodoxy,
okay,
churches. From the top of the wall, you're going to see the beautiful sights of the fort. You're going to see the infamous Guyacs. The highest point is this right here. This is a tower. It's on the northern side of town, and it's on the highest point of the wall. You boy, once again, you better like stairs, even walking this wall, because it's not even. You got to walk up. You got to walk down. But the highest point is this round circle. And this round circle, if you walk around it, in season two, this was the House of the Undying, where Daenerys yelled, "Where are my dragons?" It should be pointed out that the interior of this was used in season two, and it was used as Gendry's shop, as the shop where Gendry used to work. It didn't match what had been, but they just wanted a good look over all the city, so they had it there. Also, spoiler alert, yeah, this is the look here. We're showing the slide for everybody where you can look out from that tower onto the city. And it does give you a very, very pretty view. But I should point out that it was from this tower there was some spoiler photos for Season 8 have gone now. And so if you've seen those spoiler photos of Season 8, of an actor in Season 8 walking the Dubrovnik city walls, he was walking out of this... Oh, I've spoiled it. It's a he. Sorry. If you saw the...
It was me.
If you saw some of those spoiler photos, those filming photos that have leaked of them filming Season 8, a character from Game of Thrones is walking the King's Landing city walls, and he walks out of this specific tower there. Walking around the city, you'll see just various sights. If you know the show real well, you'll see things like this. This exterior was used for Littlefinger's brothel, only in Season 4, Episode 1, because the first season they filmed in Malta, and that's where Littlefinger's brothel exteriors were there. When they moved everything to Dubrovnik for Season 2 and beyond, they had to find new places. So this is the location where Tyrion and the Viper, Oberyn, had their talk in Season 4, Episode 1. So let's get to the tour that Marco took me on. The main thing he does is he takes you down to this little pier between the fort and the kayak place. That's Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 1. Littlefinger and Sansa had a scene there. Roz and Shay also had a scene there. Just to the right of that is this little cavern area. This is where you saw some of the gold cloaks pull Robert's bastards out and drown them in the water or stab them right here at this.
Good.
It should be pointed. What I was like, well, what is in these things now? And Marco, the tour guide, goes, more kayaks for the kayak company. I was like, all right, Marco. Then, of course, you got to walk the long steps up to the fort. But once you get to the fort, you're inside the fort and you're going to recognize it. They filmed so many things here. Inside the fort, this is where Joffrey got slapped by evil Uncle Tyrion after the Season 2 riot. This is also where Cersei and Littlefinger in Season 2, Episode 1, or maybe it was Episode 2, forget, I think it was Episode 1 where they had their infamous power, you know, knowledge is power, no power is power, confrontation right here in this courtyard in the fort. In this fort, you're going to recognize it, though, really, from King Joffrey's name day. You see, this is where it was. Is he was watching the Hound battle people, and the Hound beat somebody and threw him down into this courtyard. So Joffrey's name day, Season 2, Episode 1, was right here. And you can see what they did is they did digital extensions to make it look a bit fancier. But it's still pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything that Joffrey's in is impressive.
Now, guess what? This fort, you can rent it out. So what happens is people rent out this fort for private parties, including wedding ceremonies. So apparently what has happened in the fort here is people have rented it out for wedding parties, and they're themed Game of Thrones weddings. So people will come by and look at the fort, and they'll see all these Stark banners up, and they'll think, oh my God, this is spoilers for Game of Thrones Season 8 or Game of Thrones Season 7. No, it's just somebody rented the fort for a themed wedding or a themed event.
Now, I don't know if there's, in the picture that we're seeing now, whether there's an event about to happen or whether they leave this stuff up, but there's a lot of
lights.
A lot of lights.
They had just had a concert here the night before.
Oh, okay.
So all these lights were up for the concert. Here, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see, I'll describe it for the audio podcast, they have to do a lot of digital trickery to make this Dubrovnik look like a bigger city, like King's, you know, like King's Landing with a million people. And so Marco was always trying to hold up images which would show this is what it looks like on the show versus this is what it looks like in real life.
Mostly, for those of you who aren't on YouTube, the real big difference is on the show there's less kayakers in the water.
From the fort, you can see over to this park where King Joffrey married Margaery Tyrell. Obviously, we miss all the decorations. But me loving King Joffrey, you knew I had to get over there, and I do get over there in a bit. The park, when you get over there, it's, you know, it's just perfect. You can see these long paths. You can see this big area with this fountain. You would have to imagine it with the big table where people were eating and dancing, and the staging area where the little person show was for Joffrey's wedding, and the giant lion head was here. They filmed this, and they rented the park, but one problem they ran into is that this is next to a public road, and all the high schoolers like to come and smoke in this park.
Love it.
And they ride their mopeds and motorcycles up. So apparently, as they were trying to film, they were always battling motorcycle and car noise. And but obviously, they got it perfect to give us that great episode in 2 of season 4. The tours end up, these walking tours end up at what the locals have nicknamed the Shame Steps. And so this is the shame stairwell. This is the stairwell.
Even though I don't pay close attention,
yeah,
I assumed when I saw this picture that these were the shame stairs.
Yeah, they've used this area for a lot. Tommen, when he was trying to rescue Margaery, and he brought the gold cloaks to rescue Margaery from the Sept, but he was then confronted by the Faith Militant on these steps. They use them an awful lot, but the locals call them the shame steps. It's so good. Now, when they did the scene of the Walk of Shame, they had to rent out everything. In the courtyard at the bottom of these steps is a farmer's market. So Game of Thrones pretty much was like, how can we get rid of this farmer's market? And so the production office was like, well, just buy every single thing they were selling. So for the 2 days they filmed this Walk of Shame, and they would be bought out immediately by the Game of Thrones production staff. So they called it their best days ever.
You know what's funny is I would have bought like 3 times as much.
Right, yeah, exactly.
On the third day, and then I would have been screwed.
Right on the steps, there's this little bar that's about halfway up the steps. So they started selling a shame mojito for all the Game of Thrones fans who were coming. Only 60 kuna.
And how is that different from a regular mojito?
Well, I don't know. But because the shame steps and everything is so famous here, the drunkards occasionally like to walk naked through the city. And so Marco was saying the city has to pass all these very strict laws so that nobody walks naked through the city and tries to do their own walk of shame, their walk of punishment. Oh, man, is that crazy? Another reason to be tempted to go to Dubrovnik. And because it was sweating so much, I was just brutal at the end of this tour. Once I got to the top of these steps, I was like, please, please, let me take off my clothes.
Well, what I like is that you didn't need to take off your clothes to be shamed because you're wearing your Falcon's hat.
Oh, brother. Okay. Croatia is known for the Croat, a.k.a. it's known for the creation of the necktie. So where did this come from? This is another thing the city's real proud of. So I mentioned that the French tried to overtake them one time with Napoleon, and these Croatian soldiers would kind of get hired out to fight Napoleon's war. And to help them stand out, you know, like, well, how do you tell which force from which? The Croat soldiers would wear these things around their necks, these cravats around their necks. Of course, French and Napoleon, they started liking them. And they said, hey, make some of these Croats for us. And so sure enough, it was the Dubrovnik and Croatian forces that gave us the necktie. Way to go, Dubrovnik.
Thanks
good
a
job.
Lot, Dubrovnik.
Here's the farmer's market that they had to buy out. They decided to take some pictures of these people not getting sold out. One of the fun things to do, you were talking about nightlife, is to find, quote-unquote, the holes in the wall. And these are literally holes in the wall. You just have to walk the outer wall and look for these unmarked holes, and you walk through them, and you're going to end up in these bars, these clubs, which are just hanging on the rocks outside of the city wall.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is so fun. It's a great place to go because a lot of them are in the shade. And at night, you can feel the cool breeze from the ocean. It is just great. You have great views of some of these smaller cruise ships leaving from Old Port. That's Locrum Island in the distance. Really fun. I ended up at one at night, and I was like, yeah, let's just get drunk here. It was great.
And walk up lots more stairs.
No. Yeah, you're going to work off everything. Don't worry. You're going to work it all off. This is the church that's at the top of the shame steps. This always gets digitally removed, and they put the steps there in its place. So Locrum Island. Why do you have to visit Locrum Island? It's a good escape from the rush of tourists, mainly, but also because it's partially tied to Game of Thrones. They filmed several scenes in Season 2 out there as part of Karth, everybody's quote-unquote favorite city. So let's get it. You're going to hop on a boat from Old Pier. You'll drive by the place where they filmed the Mountain versus the Viper battle, which is an old hotel, which is just kind of sitting empty, and it's been sitting empty for decades. You get to Locrum Island, and you're going to see these signs for the Game of Thrones exhibition in the monastery complex. This isn't much of a museum. It's just a lot of artwork, like sigils. But they do have an iron throne, and as you can see from this setup, it is really cool. So if you've come all the way to King's Landing and you want your picture on the Iron Throne, take this boat ride out and get up on it. Hell yeah.
I love it. Why not?
There is a Iron Throne in the actual Old Town, but it's in a tourist shop, and they kind of are like, hey, yeah, buy a couple of t-shirts. We'll let you have a picture on the Iron Throne.
Boo.
Not so cool. They have all this verbiage there at the Iron Throne on Locrum Island, and they have it in English, as well as in Croatian. So if you want to learn Croatian real quick, you just flip back and forth between them. The monastery was used as, once again, Karth in Season 2. And this is where Dany and her crew went trying to get help from Zorro, but the evil warlock stole her dragon. And that's the main garden party in Zohan's domain was this monastery here on the island. The island also has Dubrovnik's only nudist beach. I didn't really go to it because... Because
you couldn't take pictures?
Right, yeah, I know. They also don't allow smoking pipes on the island.
Oh, no, I thought they were saying, this is not a pipe.
They also have these fun little swimming holes within the island where the water from the Adriatic is snuck through cracks, and they create these little ponds, which are so beautiful.
Oh, very nice.
This one here that we're showing on the slides is called the Dead Sea. And yeah, it was beautiful. And, once again, there aren't sand beaches, so where do the locals swim? They just swim at where the ocean meets the rocks.
Oof.
And it is tough, especially if the sea waters are rough. And here, you would see lifeguards just sitting on park benches, just in case anybody would dare go swim in these rocky areas. The island is overrun by peacocks. If you remember Karth, there were a lot of peacock statues and a lot of peacocks in the episode. Why? Because they just kind of overrun and live on Locrum Island. And there are these, you know, they're just everywhere, as well as rabbits. Those are the kind of two creatures you're going to find on Locrum Island. The final thing on Locrum Island that you'll see Game of Thrones related is the walk up to the House of the Undying. The House of the Undying, the exterior of it, like I said, was actually part of the city wall, that tower that's part of the city, Old Town city wall. But the walk up to it, which you may remember, and it's a walk, get ready in that heat to sweat off more delicious Dubrovnik food, in the walk up to the tower. It's a fun city. I spent 3 days there. I thought there was enough to do. I had a good time. I was taking siestas all the time. The final thing to do in the town is called the Rector's Palace. So rectors, you had to be a man, you had to be 50. You would be voted to be the leader of the town, and only for a month They didn't want you to be corrupt. The Rector's Palace is famed for these handrails, which appear in season 2 as part of Karth. And I always got sick. I'm like, that looks like a modern handrail. That looks like a modern handrail. It was only once I came in to the Rector's Palace that I saw it's an actual handrail.
Yeah.
The rail is a hand itself. But in the Rector's Palace, here's the exterior of it right here. Their statue is, this is the only rector who left all his money to the city.
Sucker.
And so they said, ooh, you left, this guy left all his money to the city. Let's build a statue of him and leave it up here forever. Why? Because that'll encourage other people to leave all their money to the city. This was the only one. But because this statue was there, it appears in season 2 in the episode where Daenerys goes to the Spice King and begs him for money. To give me money to retake my throne. And the Spice King is like, well, wait a minute. Retake your throne? Were you ever on the throne? Nope. Semantics, girlfriend. Rector's Palace is very beautiful. You learn about the old town and the old city. And of course, what did the old city have? They had famous families with the equivalents of sigils. Here's the Bisceglie family. Bisceglie family with the sigil of a dragon. How you like that?
I like it.
Here's another family with a sigil of a lion. So there were all these families which had their house crests, and it really feels like you're part of Game of Thrones. You want to go swimming, so you can't do all Game of Thrones. Once again, if you're not a resort, you want to find a place like this. This is just down the coast from the parkway where Joffrey got married. As you can see, it's just rocks, but it leads to a net. The sea is netted, and so you can swim there. And I went when it was 7 o'clock at night. Actually, it might have been 8 o'clock at night. The water was still incredibly warm. Second week of June, you could swim. And it's where the locals are. And it was a great, great trip. Final thing I'll say is that to leave the town, you got to catch the shuttle. The shuttle doesn't leave from the first gate. The shuttle leads from out the ugly third northern gate, and you go up and catch the shuttle back to the airport. And that was my trip, my 3 days in Dubrovnik. I think you guys would really love it.
All right, I'm sold.
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 I would say that if you don't want some of that heat and you don't want some of those crowds, I think you just go May, April, you go September, October.
I've heard
you're gonna
from
have a great time. You're going to have a great time.
A friend who went in, I think, kind of spring.
Yeah.
You know, February, March, April.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a little bit cooler, but also maybe not optimum, maybe a little too cool. Mm-hmm. But also I've heard that you really miss out on the crush of tourists.
That's what you want to do.
Spring is not a big tourist time there.
Oh, so yeah.
That's the word.
All right. So, hey, this has been our second of 5 podcasts. We're all recording in one day. 2 down. 3 to go. My name is Bubba. You can find me individually on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I'm Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67.
Please visit our new social media links. That's at PHQ on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/PHQ. Go to P Media. Find us on YouTube, Twitch, TV, Instagram TV. We're trying to be there. We're trying to give away all these incredible, incredible prizes.
So, we will talk to you for you a week, for us even shorter. Next time on the Joffrey of Podcasts.
I'm telling Mother.